listening to The Nasty Table,
the premier source for tabletop role-playing actual play. Now come on in, relax, and pull up a seat to The Nasty Table. Last session at the Nasty Table.
Welcome to the Nasty Table Season 2.
The steamy sand beneath my toes, a.k.a. Rook.
Leviticus Cain.
Crystallos. But above grounders call him Cree.
I am Hunter. Brass Dragon made her roost in a mountain cave to the west. The Royal Sun Indian family. They want us, the Adventurers Guild, to collect the egg shells that she left behind.
I heard they were souls.
No. These are souls. I like y'all.
These can help everybody.
Very obviously a nest, completely empty, save for what looks like a dead body, a large beast scaled with this thick, thick hide. But it looks injured. Typically in my writing style, what I do is I'll just, maybe once or twice a week, I will just write for like 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. And I get a lot done. But I also find myself kind of tunnel visioned in that way where I used to write, because I'll start writing about one thing and, you know, plan out. I'll be like, okay, I want to write about gods. So I want to make sure that I write about this god, this god, this god, this god, this god. And then I'd start writing about the first one, and then I'd realize that like 2 hours had gone by and I'm writing like fucking fables and like fucking, you know, excerpts from the holy book of whatever that god is, and I haven't even touched any of the other ones. So writing a little bit every day instead of a lot every week, like how I used to do, is I think going to be better to cast a wide net on a lot of stuff. I said it before, this is the most I've ever had written for a campaign ever, and with that, I know that it's going to have the most wasted stuff, which I'm comfortable with, I'm cool with. You guys know I'm over it at this point. But on the topic of your character, this week I have been thinking a lot about Keen Mind, which is a very fun, whatchamacallit, feat. Do you remember anything regarding character creation for the first campaign that we had where you made Rolgar?
No.
I said that 2 feats were banned. Lucky and Keen Mind. I banned it for that first campaign. I didn't ban it for this campaign. I read it again. I went through all the feats again, and I decided that I wanted to keep it this time around. The reason why I wanted to ban it in that first campaign is because it's going to be the bane of my fucking existence. It's going to be the death of me. I have to remember everything. Because I know you're not going to remember it. So you're going to say, I have Keen Mind. What was the name of that NPC that we talked to 14 sessions ago? And I'll have to remember it. But I know that you're a responsible individual, and I know that you will not use Keen Mind simply to break my balls. Mm-hmm. Is that fair?
That is fair. I wish there was Keen Mind in Delta Green.
Keen Mind and Delta Green, you guys would have had the case solved in like 2 days.
Chop your dirty dog.
Who had those pink fuzzy dice? Somebody else had them on their fucking car.
Yeah. Can I please have a recap of that last session? Please, recap. I was fucking doing my stupid little writing, and like it literally occurred to me as I'm writing it, I'm like thinking, working in the Adventurers Guild, like how much on average do you think like someone would make? And I kind of worked out the numbers. I got it there. And, you know, based on that map, you see there's the salt flats to the northwest there. Then I crunched the numbers on how much someone would make like running like sand collection for getting salt. And it was more than in the Adventurers Guild. So I had to rework the salt prices the other day. Because if
that throws my whole fucking character off, man.
If I had 4 money motivated characters, why wouldn't you guys start running salt instead of adventuring? It just makes sense. You know what I mean?
Maybe we're not all after money.
You're not, which is why I'm not too stressed about it. But these are the things that I think about. So, from out of the darkness enters a beast. eight-legged, reptilian in nature with grimy maroon-colored spines along its back and a thick, stubby tail. Its face, stout and fat, contains a mouth of jagged, sharp teeth. It is gravely injured, two spears sticking out of its back and side. A large gash on its abdomen spills light blue blood. Across its brow, another gash, which pours blood down into its face. And it's wheezing, making this deep, guttural growl, which ends in an exhausted hiss, like a bagpipe with a hole in it. This creature, though wounded, appears ready to fight, bows its head, extends its jaws, shows its teeth as it locks eyes with Rook and moves with quickness. Everybody roll for initiative. Now, the way that you guys are presently situated, this beast is to the far south of this chamber. You guys off to the east. Taking up the back would be Honto. Directly to his right is Levi. Ahead of both of them is Rook. And halfway between the nest and the rest of the group is Little Cree, who made his scuttles and scurries to try to regroup. For initiative, anyone get over 20? Anyone get 15 to 20? Woof. 10 to 15?
14.
14 for Honto.
10.
10 for Cree.
Good first combat, boys.
5 to 10?
9.
9.
Who's got the higher dex mod?
2.
0.
Okay, so then Levi and Rook last.
Just getting the bad rolls out the way now.
It's always on initiative.
So this creature is going to act first. And it looks like this.
Oh, God. Yummy.
Can you see it, Alex?
It's a little bright. Oh, shit. I fuck with that.
So this creature is going to act first. It is going to move towards Rook 20 feet.
It's here.
Yep.
And it moves. So that's five.
Yep. 10, 15, 20.
Right there?
Yes. It is walking almost limply, but still fairly quick, as if its legs are injured, but it's fighting through it. Rook, it looks at you, and you can see this haze over its eyes. And you feel this chill go up your spine. I need you to roll a constitution saving throw.
19.
You're all right. This chill quickly subsides as you're able to shake it off, and you notice as it comes to the end of its turn, blood drips into its eyes, and it tries to blink hard to remove it. That's the end of its turn. We go to Honto.
Here for 20 feet.
20 feet to close the distance and get into melee range of it?
Yes.
Okay.
So anywhere in this, right, that's all melee.
Correct.
This way, I'll use the rest of my 30. And then I'm going to use, I'm going to melee attack Cat's Claws.
Go ahead, roll to attack. A few delible strides to close the distance and become face to face with this creature.
Well, I am going to attack twice, once with a bonus action. First, the action.
Go ahead.
Wait, I'm sorry. We're doing plus dex plus proficiency, right?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. 11.
11 does not hit.
Okay, and then the bonus action one, how are we treat? You said you treat the bonus action differently on your roll, right?
I believe the bonus action you're not supposed to add your proficiency modifier to, but that might be Pathfinder rules. No, you do add your proficiency modifier in your dex.
So it's the same as an action attack.
Correct.
Okay.
Because technically what we're doing here is treating it as if both of your hands are light weapons.
Yeah, I like that. 14 plus 5, 19.
19 hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay. 6 damage.
6 points of damage, a swift strike with extended claws, bears more light blue blood. Anything else for your turn? It was action, bonus action. Okay. End of your turn, we go to Kree.
Honto, are you able to... Is there enough movement for me to get behind him, to sandwich him between you and me?
So you're saying here? Yes, that would be sandwiching. So we have 5, 15, 25, 30.
Just out of reach.
Oh.
Just out of reach for flanking.
So is, like, standing on that, like, event horizon of the nest. So that spot is at the out perimeter of the nest. Is that difficult terrain?
No. I'm treating only the inside of the nest as difficult terrain.
Okay. Yes. Can you move me to that perimeter of the nest in the center of the room?
5, 15,
25,
30. Okay.
Cool.
Kree also entering melee range behind the creature.
I would like to, as a bonus action, I would like to use my Draconic Cry to... Draconic Cry, as a bonus action, let out cry to enemies within a 10-foot radius. You and allies have advantage on the enemies that could hear it until the start of your next turn.
Okay. You let out your Draconic Cry.
Yeah. And it's like a, it's not like a high pitched like squeal, but you can tell it's like chickens evolved from dinosaurs, and kobolds evolved from dragons type shit. You know.
Is there anger behind it, or is it just like, what's the emotion here?
Like, I imagine as like he's fucking it's. It's like a quick thing, but like I imagine, like I don't know, the tattoos that, you know, wrap around his arms just give like a very faint glow, as he lets it out very quick.
Okay, that is your bonus action.
Yeah, and so now I'd like to use Booming Blade on this guy.
Go ahead and roll to hit.
Okay. Nineteen
hits. Go ahead and roll damage, and he is under the effects of Booming Blade.
Okay. 12 damage.
12 damage. Swinging your longsword over your head with both hands, coming down at a sharp angle, slicing across the back of this creature who lets out a whimper. More blue blood spills to the floor, but it is still standing. End of your turn?
Yeah.
We go to Levi.
Using only 10 feet of movement to move up a little bit closer to the creature, Levi pulls out this kind of this spiraling shell that that has this almost like circular tube going through it. The cylinder, and it's got about a 6-inch mouth on the end of it, and he holds it under his arm, holds it under one arm with the tube facing towards the opening facing towards the creature, and he's going to use it to cast Firebolt on the creature.
Go ahead and roll to hit.
19
hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
You do have advantage with Draconic Cry.
Yes, with advantage because of Draconic Cry. Wait, was he within range to hear it?
So the enemies have to be within 10 feet.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
25.
Okay.
19. 5 damage.
5 points of damage. Okay. He is still standing as these flames lick up the side of him.
And Levi is going to stay where he is.
Okay. End of your turn, we go back to Rook at the bottom of the round. Able to shake off whatever supernatural mumbo jumbo.
Can I cast Entangle on it?
You can. Yes. Go ahead. I have to make a dex save, correct?
Strength.
Strength saving throw from the creature. Natural 20.
Nice. All right.
So not entangled, but it is difficult terrain.
Okay.
And is this centered on the creature?
Yeah, it's 20 feet, so.
Draw me a 4x4 yeah. square.
Oh, 4x4, fuck. Oh, well, one of them's going to be in it.
No.
No, there's a way to do it.
No.
Oh, there,
it's actually
this
a good
corner.
Yeah.
This corner. All right. Yeah. Yeah. There it is.
Okay.
Okay.
So that is your action. Anything else?
Can I move?
Yes. You have your full complement of movement.
Right behind my boy.
So, getting directly behind Honto.
Yep.
End of your turn, we go back to the creature. Who looks directly into Honto's eyes and shakes off the blood, and you catch its eye just staring over at you as it glazes over. I need you to roll a constitution saving throw for me.
A 17.
You are able to shake it off as well. Let me look at my stat block for a moment.
Hope that comes across in the mics.
Oh, it does.
Yep. I can hear it.
Let's go. Such a good purchase. Oh my
God. Love it. Love it.
Blood seeps back into its eyes as it locks eyes with you again and is going to try to bite you. That is going to be a 13 to hit.
Not a hit.
Miss. End of its turn as it finds no purchase and back to you.
No, Honto smiles when he tries to bite at him. Deftly sidesteps to the left so he can get... We are now...
Flanking, yes.
We are now flanking. He chuckles. No, no, my friend. And then he kind of lunges in from this new position to take two more swipes.
Go ahead and roll to attack with advantage. You had advantage from Draconic Cry. You also have it from flanking.
So it's for the first one. So the first one is a 23.
23 to hit?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and roll for your second one.
Oh, got a reroll. And that one is a 22.
Both of them hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
Okay, so the first one is a 4, and the second one is an 8.
4 and an 8 for a total of 12. Please describe how you kill this creature.
No way.
Oh, like I said, I jump back, sidestep. No, no, my friend. And I kind of jump into the entanglement almost, and with one lunge, I kind of go at his throat. And then I want to kind of like, with all you know, using, I'll use my, if it's the end of combat as well, I'll use my feline agility here, you know, to use however much movement speed I need to kind of jump over it as well. And kind of on my way on the back side of this creature coming down, I just take my claw and kind of just open up the side of it.
Rended out of the side, and blood, guts, and viscera slop to the floor, coated in this blue blood. The creature breathes one last breath, and stops, lays flat, motionless, and dead. We are out of combat.
I immediately, right to, down to my right, I just take a long breath to compose myself. I put my hand on Kree, and right on his shoulder. I say, and I really stare at you right in the eye, Kree. I'm like, my friend, thank you for that.
Thank you. You put him down. Yes, Father. I felt what you did.
And I walk away.
Left back in this room. What do you guys want to do?
Levi walks over to Rook. You mind taking away the bramble?
Yeah, can I just take that shit away?
Yeah, yeah. You just kind of end the casting, and you can see all these vines and thorns that seemingly spread out of nowhere begin to subside back into the cold rock below.
Levi wants to get down on one knee. Can I identify this creature at all?
Go ahead and roll Arcana for me.
Can I do the same?
You may.
20, not natural.
Dirty 20. What about for Kree?
9.
Kree, it eludes you, which is surprising based off of what kind of creature this is. Levi, this is a basilisk. Mm. They are able to turn creatures to stone with their gaze. This one was hurt, so it looked like its petrifying gaze was affected by that. They can also inflict poison damage along with their bite. Their maw contains a poison in it, but the actual source of the petrification comes directly from its eyes.
I could have got turned into fucking stone on my first...
Both of us.
First adventure. Fucked up. Looked that bitch right in the eyes.
Levi pulls out this vial that he was working on last night, this powdery white substance, and he starts to spread it in a circle around this basilisk. And then he looks to his jacket and looks back at the creature and takes out a new tube. And he screws on this piece to the bottom of it that looks like, you know those like ice cream cone type things that you put on a beach umbrella to screw it into the ground?
Yeah.
He tries to do that here, but is it just all rock?
In the ground, the rock is surprisingly soft.
Okay.
It's sandstone, so it kind of chips away.
Mm-hmm. Puts it in the middle and then... leans away a little bit as you see him go eek, eek, to the top of this thing and then just poosh, as he lets his tubes do the work.
Describe what this looks like to anyone watching.
It's this tubes. Long tube that I was describing it before. It looks like those fluorescent light tubes with this gauge on the top that just got opened. And you hear like almost like a vacuum cleaner as it tries to suck in as much air as possible. And you see in about 30 seconds as this powder starts to turn to almost smoke, and this smoke rises up and into the vial as you see it fill up with a little bit of red.
And it's, it for me, how I picture it in my mind is it's almost like it's, there's some... pull against it, almost like it's like a trampoline to a point where it's like pulling and then breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Gets sucked up into this tube, fills with red.
Yeah, this side fills with red, the other ones are blue. And then screws the lid on back real tight, stops that hissing, adjourns it to his to the right shoulder with another empty tube.
Rook walks up and sees all this happen and comes up on you.
You just take his soul?
Of course I did.
It was bad.
He tried to kill us.
Is that why it's red?
You know, I'm not no judge, jury, executioner. Well,
you're the one with souls on your side.
I'm just saying, I'm not one to judge. It's just some creatures. I don't want these souls, mixing when I send them off. I want to be able to differentiate.
Separate but equal tubes? Do they have to drink from different water fountains, Mike Finn?
Damn, where I come from, they do.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, if you want to think of it as bad, be my guest. Whatever makes you peace.
Didn't seem very nice to me.
No. You want its eyes?
Not necessarily.
Just me. All right. Takes out a dagger and starts to try to pry these things out.
Yeah, so as you're getting a close look at it, you actually see that its left eye is actually gouged out. The only eye left is the singular right eye, which is almost like milky white at this point. You kind of open up the top eyelid, slide the dagger out, pull down, pull out, and with a resounding the eyeball comes out. It's probably about the size of a baseball.
I look around my pack. Probably not a vial big enough to hold a baseball size.
Probably not.
I have a little bit of cloth, wrap it in cloth, and put it towards the bottom of the bag.
Okay. What's everyone else doing during this?
I'm climbing to the top of that perch.
Climbing with feline agility to the top of the perch. You do have a climb speed, correct?
That's equal to my walk speed.
Stupendous. With ease, you make your way to the top of the perch.
Which is crazy if I use feline agility for 60 feet.
60 feet of climb is actually insane.
That's like world record level climbing speed.
Yes. In six seconds. Yes. But yeah, you're able to make your way up there. There's nothing of note up here. There's no insignias or scrawlings. There's no items up here. What you do notice, however, is that at the tippy top, right at the edge, right before it falls off this perch, looks like there's two large indentations. Well-worn, likely where this dragon would make its nightly perches.
And you said it doesn't go in at all? It's walled?
Yep.
Okay. Nothing of anything, nothing else. It's pretty just, it's a perch and there's nothing.
Taking a look out, it actually does give a pretty decent view out of that back natural window that I talked about. Enough so that if you're able to turn to the right, or turn to the right a little bit and look out, you can actually see King Kaydeen far in the distance. As if this would be the only angle in this room for you to get a view at it.
From the top, I look at Kree.
Wow, what a view. That's Jagged.
How's the weather up there?
It's magnificent. The dragon had a wonderful view from here. A lucky creature.
I am jealous.
And I climb down.
Scuttering down.
Can I light like a torch?
Yeah, it's well lit in here, but you're able to light a torch.
And go back here?
Yeah, creep your way back there. You step up to the edge of the alcove.
Wait, can I get some backup? Levi?
I was assuming this took me a couple minutes while you guys were doing things to get this soul in the eyes.
You want to try to go find some more eggs?
Absolutely. That's the whole reason we're here, right?
Yeah.
And we start going.
I step up with him.
Step up to the shadowed alcove, and the torchlight rather well actually illuminates what would have been darkness. It looks like it is a short hallway. Still natural rock facing. Nothing in here has looked, you know, carved by hand, except for maybe the window and the perch and things like that. But nothing immediately stands out as having the hand of man on it, like there's no cobbled bricks or anything like that. Short hallway, pitch dark, but with the torchlight, it's easy to see everything. There's a break in this hallway. Off to the left, there is a statue directly ahead of you, which looks completely out of place. And beyond, you see rubble. This is what you see immediately the second you kind of turn in here. Now, the rubble that's ahead of you is probably 30 or 40 feet down this hallway. This break in the wall that I mentioned is off to the left is probably about 15 feet down into the hallway. You'd have to get a little bit closer to really get a good look because of the radius of this torch. The statue, like I mentioned as well, is directly next to where this hole in the wall is on the left.
You think it's safe?
We can go slow and cautiously.
Go slow and cautiously.
Slow and cautiously. getting face to face with this statue. Very, very out of place.
Can I cast Detect Magic on it?
Cast Detect Magic on it. It does not radiate any magic. What is the radius of Detect Magic?
30 feet.
You do not notice any magic emanating off of this statue, but something is radiating a very, very, very strong aura of magical energy beyond the rubble that's ahead of you. And the way that Detect Magic works is you take a second and lock in. It seems like it is from the school of abjuration magic beyond this rubble. And you're kind of caught off guard by that because you're originally looking at the statue and then you feel this presence beyond, lock in on it. This is the single strongest source of magical energy Rook has ever experienced in his life, beyond this rubble. There's also that break in the wall that I mentioned off to the left.
We didn't see down the break in the wall yet.
No, it's off to your left. You just got to kind of turn over and take a look at it. But still looking at the statue, like I mentioned, it looks very well made. It looks very, very realistic. It depicts a woman who's standing. She looks afraid. What is particularly jarring about this statue is the fact that it is wearing clothing that is very reminiscent of the corpse that you found in the nest.
Well, Rook, it, oh, wait, I can't say that.
Yeah. Levi did not share his knowledge, unfortunately.
Fuck, we wouldn't have even known. Or did you, Levi?
Say,
did you share your knowledge?
I say...
He was busy.
You were busy.
I have no idea what just happened.
Did you reveal that it was a basilisk?
Yes, sorry, I did. It's when I was talking about the eyes. Sorry.
Okay. You would have.
Yes, okay. I would have said that when I was talking about the eyes and mentioned it to Rook. I am very sorry.
This is
D&D. I'm locked in.
This is D&D. You have you have to have your head in a book the whole time or else you're not playing D&D.
Sorry. So. I need to learn the fucking spell so I don't lock in.
That's how you this is how you do it.
I was
Googling. How you do it. That's fine.
He looks like
I do the spell and then I'm
she
like
she got fucked.
Rook's like taken back when he does the spell. There's magic behind the rocks.
Magic.
Strong.
Really?
Strong magic.
Why don't we get the others and investigate?
Well, we can't get over there.
Well, there's a door right here. Maybe it leads another way. No?
I don't know about this.
Well, we don't have enough eggs. We need three
eggs. We have
eggs.
Time. We can come back.
And
we can check the body on the floor. I'm
Kree.
Sure he has
Kree.
One.
Leviticus. Come here.
I follow into the cave.
Yeah, wobble in.
Tell them what you told me, please.
And I start like pointing. Like, yeah, I literally was gonna say, and almost like Courage the Cowardly Dog. There's magic behind the rubble.
I'm curious.
And I turn like my neck doesn't turn. It's just like my body. The strongest magic I've ever seen.
Wait a minute. There's another. And I motion to the other door. I want to look in.
Yeah, so it's actually...
Or another door.
I've been purposefully obtuse about it. It is a break in the wall. The cave wall. It doesn't extend all the way to the floor, this break. It's almost like a hole 2 or 3 feet off the ground. Probably like 2 or 3 feet in diameter. You just kind of peek in, and from the torchlight illuminated from Rook. Does anyone have dark vision other than Kree?
Nah.
Tabaxi have dark vision?
Yeah.
Cool. So, also with the help of the torchlight and your dark vision, you kind of look in. It is a massive chasm. Pitch black. Between your dark vision and the torchlight, you're not able to see the back edge of it, but you look down and it looks like just a sheer drop down. There's no handholds, there's no stairs, there's no ladders, just this huge chasm. And as you get closer, you can feel this cold air kind of rushing out of it.
I want to kind of like, not like hang over it, but get in as comfortably as you can, like, you know, head in, really kind of feeling it all.
Yeah, it seems huge. It seems massive. It seems like it goes down a far way. What's the range on your dark vision?
Oh, I have no
idea. Mine's 60 feet.
60 feet?
So, yeah.
It's probably that.
60 feet.
Probably the same thing. Yeah.
Well, it is well beyond 60 feet wide, at least, and well beyond 60 feet deep, at least.
And long as well.
Like, seems to be.
Any
you,
direction.
You can see the edges of it from, like, if you stick your head out and look to the left, you can see it go off the edge and curve inward out of your range of vision.
Okay.
Do we see this, or is it just Honto?
Well, right now, Honto has his head in the hole.
Yeah, Honto wants to just have his eyes closed and be feeling this cool rush for, like, the next 15 seconds and say nothing.
Until, it is nice. It's like if you put, like, a oscillating fan on the lowest setting, and it's, like, in the middle of fucking fall, and you just kind of have your head sticking in it. You guys can actually see some of the fur on him kind of brush up a little bit from this updraft that's coming from whatever the bottom of this is.
And yeah, he's got his hands on the walls, and when he comes back, his fur is kind of all disheveled. Half a minute of this, oh my friends, it's refreshing. Another wonder of this world. Try it, come on.
Oh. Step up.
It's big in there, isn't it, Kree?
Climb up to wherever he stuck his head in.
Yep.
Peek my head in.
Peek your head in. You get a much different impression than he did. From your background, this is likely a cave that leads somewhere deeper and somewhere darker. Even kind of sticking your head in and being accustomed to living near chasms like this. This is likely home to critters, creatures, and almost certain death. Likely where this basilisk came from, and likely very, 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 very deep.
Can I, like, pick a rock up from this rubble I'm climbed up top and just toss it?
Yeah, kind of knocking a piece of sandstone loose, taking it in your hand and tossing it. You don't hear anything.
Dude, if we go down there, all we gotta do is talk like this. And we'll get just fine.
Now entering rock bottom.
Rock bottom.
Oh my god. Can I try to, I guess, investigate? If this rubble seems like it came from this opening, like, at all, does this seem like it's this opening should be here, sort of, or like this was created?
I'm not gonna have you roll investigate. It's not hard to tell that it looks like it was created.
Okay.
But I will have you roll investigate because I thought of something else.
Well, I didn't. Nat
20. Nat 20.
Boom.
This hole is definitely not supposed to be here. This hole is new.
Damn.
And this hole was punched from the outside into this hallway. You can see rubble on the floor that looks as if it was originally from the wall. So someone didn't punch from this hallway in, someone punched from in there out to here.
Is there room to stand in there?
There is nothing. Like I said, there are no handholds, there are no steps, there are no ladders. It is sheer, and it is all the way down. The rubble that's in the back of this hallway does not look like this. It looks much older.
I suggest we do not go any further than this. There's more to explore back here.
And I start, like, backing up, like, out away from this rubble.
What's everyone else doing?
You told me the type of magic that it was.
Abjuration.
And what is it?
Roll Arcana. See, the spell says that you get the school of magic, but it doesn't say if you know what that school of magic is.
Yeah. 11.
11. Abjuration is a fairly common school of magic. It typically has to do with negating negative effects, protecting yourself. There is a signature spell called Arcane Lock that you know is abjuration. I think Shield might be an abjuration spell. Protection. Mm. Security.
Maybe we should try and get behind here.
The rubble itself looks like it can be moved, but it would take you guys some time. Large rocks and boulders.
Can I take a larger one on the outside that's on like the side closest to us and try to move it to see if it shifts anything or has any movement behind?
Kind of try to get one of the large rocks and yank it, and it kind of makes a screeching sound as it rubs against the cave floor. A couple more rocks kind of tumble down. But it doesn't look like there's any rocks above that haven't fallen to where you are. In total, it looks like maybe about 2 or 3 feet deep of rocks that range between the size of a watermelon to a microwave.
Nothing I noticed inside?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You do. So actually, roll perception for me.
Oh, a 2?
Rook didn't bring the light over. You can't see shit, man.
All right.
There's something behind there.
There is darkness behind there.
I have a torch.
Can I try and... I'm like... Okay, please step to the side, everybody.
And I want to try to cast Eldritch Blast on the rubble.
Okay. Everybody steps to the side. You have dark vision, so I'm going to give you a shot. Just roll a d20 for me.
6.
So, everyone steps to the side. You cast Eldritch Blast as ricocheting off of these rocks. This bolt of force damage, is it? Force energy. Yes. Enters through, cracks the rock that it hits, and shatters some more, putting it to the side. Seems like you're making progress. You could probably shoot 3 or 4 more of these and you might actually crack all these rocks to get through. Sandstone seems to be fairly brittle here.
I'll do it. I'm like, just like fucking repetitious.
Another
boom.
One.
Boom.
Smashing against these rocks, sending shards in all directions. You guys got to like protect your eyes at one point as ricocheting off through these shards of... you know, kind of the way that sandstone chips is very sharp, very jagged. Brings the pile down to maybe about 2 feet tall, and beyond you can see, with the help of Rook's torch and both of your guys' dark vision, you can see probably 30 or 40 feet beyond what looks like a door.
Where was this, this magic?
It seemed to be about that far in.
Like the door.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Is there like a platform in front of the door? How big is the platform?
So it's simply just a hallway.
Oh,
so
no,
this.
Where's the chasm?
The chasm's off to your guys' left.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So this rubble was just basically cutting the hallway in half. It seems like it fell from above. And now that you're getting a look at it, it looks like there was a slight cave-in above that caused these rocks to fall down here. You might have to navigate over some of the rocks that are left here, some of the debris that is left, but it's easy enough to get over and walk the 30, 40 feet ahead to take a look at this if you want. You don't see any other pathways off to the left or right. This hallway seems to end in this door, as if this door was the original purpose of this alcove. Still in pitch darkness.
When you're saying door, do you mean like an opening or like an actual like wooden door?
So what you actually see looks like a two-piece stone door. It's a distinctly different color than the cave walls. The sandstone in the cave is like a light to dark brown. This door looks like it's light gray, almost marbled with streaks of black. Stone door that appears closed.
That door is magic. It's probably protected.
I cannot feel the magic. I will follow if you go.
Why don't we? It would be exciting, wouldn't it?
If you want to try to open the door.
Well, I will go slowly.
It might hurt.
A chance I am willing to take. When I start walking.
Try to open it.
As soon as I'm going over the rubble, I start getting extremely cautious, looking for traps. I guess as a result, I'm moving stealthily, but I'm not. That's not the objective.
So,
safety is the objective.
Then go ahead and roll perception for me.
21.
Stepping through, it does not appear to be trapped in any way, shape, or form. The walls here are sheer. There's no hidden alcoves or different, you know, nooks or crannies that anything could be hidden behind or any traps could be placed. Ahead looks clear. What you do notice, too, is that the ground here looks to be covered in sand, as if this area has not been traversed frequently, or if the dragon who did live here probably, A, wouldn't be able to fit in here. And it also looks like no one's really been here quite some time. You get close to the door. How close are you getting?
Am I in the sand?
Like, yeah, you probably... You would be about to take your first footstep into it. Scatterings of sand, I should say. Yeah. If that sounds particularly suspicious to you.
Okay, yeah, I'm never, like, stepping into, like, a huge pool of...
It's easy to circumvent where this sand seems to have collected.
Cool. Well, I kind of get right there, and I look back at the group.
Well? Anyone care to join?
Step forward.
Step forward.
So does Levi.
Step forward.
Do I hear anything at this point? Can I try again to see if I hear anything from the other side?
Roll perception. How close are you?
Within 5 feet, right?
All right, so you get up to the door?
Pretty much, if we all are, yeah.
Okay, we'll pick up on that. I just want to know what Rook's doing.
Rook, like, looks around. All right. And then he walks up.
Following as the four of you make your way up to the edge of the door. I will give you some information on this door, but first I would like a perception check from Levi to listen on the other side.
A 7. I don't know why I keep rolling. I have nothing in perception.
Well, unfortunately, you do not hear anything. This door is cracked.
Can I try and take a listen as well when we get up to the door, or does that roll count as well, or can I roll again?
Typically, I will let you guys either both roll separately or one person roll with advantage. So go ahead, you can roll.
What is it?
Nice.
A 2.
Deuce.
A 6.
6. No, you do not hear anything. I mentioned when you guys first noticed this door that it looked like it was gray with black marbling. It is gray with cracks in it instead. It looks very, very old. I mentioned at length to Rook that this is exuding a magical force that he has never encountered before. Even those who have no connection to arcane or magical energies feel discomfort. This door is old, it is ancient, and it is strong. There is a carving across the top arch of it, but it is closed. Off to the left of this door, you see something odd. It looks like 5 empty sockets that line from the top to the bottom. The sockets are pentagonal in shape, and they look like whatever goes into those sockets is probably about the size of a golf ball. carving like I mentioned at the top. These sockets off to the left, and the door is closed.
The door has, like, no handle or anything like that, right?
Nope. But based on the construction of it, you can only imagine that it opens in.
Okay.
Can I start to look behind us a little bit? See if there's anything in this rubble, in the sand, that would fit that shape?
Roll investigation while we figure out what everyone else is doing.
I'm gonna pull the egg out from my pouch. I mean, this, even with all these cracks, it's definitely bigger than a golf ball, right?
Well, bigger.
Okay. Would any of these cracks fit in the holes?
No.
Okay.
Investigate 10? No. You do not feel like anything in this room would fit in these holes. Carrying even that over to the original room that you were in. Nothing there.
And we can't... So you said that there's carvings on the door. Is there anything we can make out? Like it might be a language or something?
So you take a look at it, and like I said, it kind of traces the edge of the archway above this door. It does appear to be a language. We're going to play my favorite game. What language does everyone have?
Dwarven.
My way in primordial.
Dwarvish?
I say Dwarvish.
Draconic and Undercommon.
Elvish and Infernal.
Hanto. That's
good. And Common.
Hanto, this is an Elvish.
Whoa.
Uh-huh. Speak friend and enter.
Whatever it is, say it out loud. I'm reading it out loud as I'm
reading it. As you're translating it?
Yeah.
This tomb does not celebrate any deeds. This tomb contains nothing cherished. What is found within is dangerous beyond measure, in the right hands or the wrong. What lies dead beyond this threshold contains no value.
Wow. Man.
Yeah, I'm good after that.
Rook just starts, like, backpedaling backwards, like, real slowly.
Perhaps...
Maybe this was a bad idea.
Perhaps some things can be left for another day.
Back up to the nest.
Back out to the nest. Making your way, backpedaling away from this door, back into the nest area. There is still the way that you came from, as well as the grapple rappelling out of the window off to the back of this room.
Can I walk up to that window where the grapple's at?
Yeah.
And I want to look down and, like, reassess, like, was the grapple, did it break? And that's why there's a corpse?
No, it looks like it's going all the way down.
And about how far down?
You would say probably about 50 to 60 feet. Maybe more. Probably more. You're a small guy.
And it's just straight outside of the cave.
Like, yeah, it's straight into the desert dunes. The sunlight actually makes you kind of wince as you get up to the edge of this window.
Like, assessing the area and where we are, does it seem fairly simple to go back out the way we came and get around to this place?
It would take you some time. It would take you maybe about, like, an hour or so.
But it is, it's not like we're late. It'd be like a really difficult climb to get back up to this area.
Correct.
It'd just be a walk.
Yeah.
Kind of. Okay.
Just time. Yeah. Which, taking a look at the sun, you would guess that you probably have 4 or so hours of daylight left.
Can I pull out of my Dungeoneer's pack my 50 feet of rope?
Yes.
It's 50 feet of hempen rope.
Yeah, 50 feet soft rope. I've been here before, kid.
I want to toss the whole thing out and hold on to it and see how much Like, if it gets to the bottom or what? How much room we got?
So you toss it out, it actually gets almost right above the bottom. You would say maybe 5 or 6 feet of a drop. So you would guess that the drop is probably 56 or so feet.
Okay. I turn to...
The grappling hook has rope attached to it. It looks like that does make it all the way down to the ground.
Fuck, it's grappling hook. Fuck.
Can I try to, like, pull this rope hard to test the integrity of the rope that's connected to the grappling hook?
Yeah, it seems easy enough, you know, even if you pull it all the way up. You want to pull it all the way up?
No, just, like, at the point. Just at give it, point, like, a hard...
Good hard tug. Yeah, it seems fairly solid. It seems like quality rope.
Okay.
I want to... Okay, yeah, I'll... So you did that to the grappling hook, right, Levi?
Yes, the grappling hook one.
Okay, I will take my 25-pound body, and I'll walk over to the grappling hook, and I will... I want to scale down. I don't want... If this is going to be something that is... insanely difficult in terms of athletics, I don't want to do it. But I imagine I would have some kind of
grab. Seems very straightforward, especially when you kind of position yourself and get ready, and you notice that there's actually a foothold, which is sticking out of like a rock outcropping, to steady yourself, go down maybe another 10 or so feet, and there's another one down a little bit more. It seems pretty intuitive. No athletics check necessary in order to rappel down.
Okay.
Do you go all the way down?
Yeah, I turn to Rook and I'm like, Rook, can you... I see the hook. Can you please just hold on to the hook as well? Who knows what happened and why this person died?
Holding on as hard as I can.
I give him a nod, start scaling.
Do you kill him? Do you kill him? You want to kill him?
No,
you
want to
kill him right now?
No,
you can kill his character right now. You don't want to kill him.
Just
flip it right up. It'll take 1 second.
No!
Easy enough for Rook to kind of keep the pressure of the hook on the edge here and for you to rappel all the way down and your feet hit the hot sand below. This body that I mentioned to Levi originally last session, you can see it a lot more clearer now. The one thing that sticks out to you is now that you're actually close to it, you notice that its legs are gray. Solid. Get a little closer. Made of stone. Extending all the way up to his waist. He is unmoving. He is dead. He is face down. And he has a satchel on his side. He's wearing garb that is very similar to the person inside who is in the nest. The other thing that you notice when you get down here is footprints in the sand. Running away from this body.
I see. I want to loot the body.
Take a second, flip him over. Looks like he has a slash mark across his chest, and like I mentioned, his legs completely solid. He's wearing the same symbol that I mentioned before, which was on the guy in the nest. He's wearing the same necklace that looks like it's at least very similar to the one that was in the nest. But most importantly, his satchel is empty. He has nothing else on his body.
Fuck. I'm coming back up. Start climbing up.
That will require an athletics roll.
Can we help by pulling the rope if he just holds onto it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can roll with advantage if they do that.
Yeah,
it's a DC. It's a DC 5, bud. Not even God himself could fuck up this roll.
Alright, I'll roll with advantage.
4. No, it's easy enough to scurry your way up. You actually don't need their help as you make your way up. Pull yourself in with a heave-ho. Maybe they help you. As Creed does all of this, is there anything that anyone specifically doing? I'm assuming that you guys are actively listening and keeping an ear out for threats, eye out for threats, nothing of the sort. But anything specific that you guys wanted to do while he was down there?
I'm just fully paying attention to him and holding onto the rope, making sure it's secure.
Gotcha. Kree comes back up.
And when he comes up.
Anything? You get the egg?
No, his pouch was empty. His pouch was empty. There are footprints that are going far that way. I cannot see where they end. Maybe whoever emptied his pouch has an egg and ran off.
What are we gonna do?
Looking out, there's not like a little like shack in the desert or anything that we can see.
Looking out into the desert, you notice nothing other than a roving band of dire scorpions far in the horizon, moving in a herd. Sand, like the sea, is desolate and empty.
What size footsteps are we talking here?
You would guess average humanoid sized.
Just one?
Big footprints. As big as yours. or yours. Just one.
Take a point of inspiration, you dirty man.
I don't see no reason we can't track somebody for a little bit.
Maybe they came as a group of three and one got away.
Could be now.
Or four, right?
Well, we have two bodies. Right?
I thought we had three bodies.
We have three bodies?
One was completely stone in the hallway, unfortunately for her. One was on top of the eggs in the nest.
Group of four.
And then there's the one down there who suffered the fate of both of the two inside.
You're right. I'm not good at math.
It is okay, I am not very smart.
But either
way. Of this world either, as they say.
One got away.
Yes, it seems that way.
Is there anything else in this cave that we have not seen? Or other than whatever is in that hallway?
Seems to be the case that you guys have explored or at least seen all of the navigatable portions of Talverna Cave. Cave being a very generous term for what seems to be, above all else, a carving within this mountain.
Okay, come. Let's go down the hook. Let's go down the grappling hook. But first, and then I run down to the center of the nest, and I try to pull that body out of the nest. Like, I fucking try to fucking... I use, like, all my strength to pull this body out of this nest.
You struggle with it, and you crunch and crack along the way, and his head gets caught on the edge of the nest, and you have to pull it off, and you can see, like, the back of his shirt is caught up on it, and you real quick gotta, like, loosen it and get him off, and... His lifeless corpse slops to the cave floor.
Am I? And then I run back down to the center of the nest and I, like, sit down pretzel style and I just fucking close my eyes and I say prayer.
What's everyone else doing during this?
Just watching him. Like, what are you doing?
You know what? If he's doing something spiritual like that, Honto kind of goes over to the window and he tries to get a good look at the whole place. He closes his eyes and tries to do like a light meditation, but you know, in like free stance, sort of really feel the room.
Easy enough,
if you know what I mean.
Reaching your consciousness out, trying to grab the grains of sand beyond, and Kree within praying. What are the contents of your prayer?
Like, see that all. What are the odds that I find myself in the very nest of another dragon? I believe that you are putting me on this path. I believe that you have done this. And I will continue to follow your guidance.
That's it.
A break from prayer and meditation to find the four of you still in here. What do you guys want to do?
Watching Kree's climbs, it seemed like something with somebody with more body weight would be able to do pretty easily.
Yeah.
Scale down this?
Yeah. Probably easier.
Start my descent.
Begin making your way down.
Are we trying to follow the footsteps?
Yes, we have to.
Levi makes his way down.
You guys go first, and I hold it.
Yeah, start investigating the area around the body. See if it's like a bunch of prints, like around, or it's just like kind of one set that just left.
Right, it's just body. One set that left. So off of the base, where this rope reaches the bottom here, you see two sets and a very smaller set. One set ends at this corpse. The other one extends beyond it, and the smaller set ends at the corpse as well. You would imagine the smaller set is from when Kree came down here.
Would I know anything about, with the sands whipping up in here, how long footprints would be?
Yeah, roll nature.
Nat 20.
Day 2, max.
Day or 2, max. Okay. This can't be longer than these guys been dead. I mean, it happened soon. We get a good jump on it. We can catch them.
Yeah, the cloth was wet. Oh, wait, I'm still up top.
I'm kind of shouting this from the bottom.
Yeah, well, we was looking down here.
Everybody else down. Make a descent?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Honto, Kree, Rook last?
Yeah.
Making your way down. And your thorns catching in at the sides of the twine as they kind of get, like, caught up in your thorns as you're, like, firemen sliding down. But eventually the four of you all get to the bottom. The footsteps extend out beyond this corpse and look like they curve around a larger dune. Probably about 30 or so yards before they curve.
Start walking.
We have to follow it. So
follow?
Yeah, let's go.
Start following it. 10, 20, 30 yards. Make that turn. And you can see that the footsteps extend for about 10 or so feet before they end in a 3-foot-wide shallow divot and disappear.
Look down the divot. What's it look like down there?
Roll nature.
Can I roll nature?
Yeah.
16.
Not better.
16. What it looks like, and maybe you've ran into it on any kind of excursions that would happen above ground. This seems to be a marking of what occurs when a bird, large bird, takes flight in the sand. Footstep, 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 and then this impression. It's very shallow, half an inch. The dust is kicked up as wings flutter.
Would I know what druids are? I haven't seen Rook like really turn into anything. Like, would I know what druids are?
That's up to you. It's up to you and your backstory.
I'm gonna say I wouldn't. I would say like maybe I read about it, like it was a fictional thing, but
I wouldn't understand this at all. Just based
whether
on
or not he dictates, role. You know, what happened and what exactly was the role.
7.
No, I mean it maybe, but if he explains it, you might get more information.
I say like this makes no sense. The footsteps end right here, and then it looks like some giant winged beast took flight.
Maybe it was a vulture.
I don't know what it was. I don't know where it went.
Can I dig a little bit at this spot? See if anything can give in the sand?
Starting to disturb the spot. It doesn't look like anything.
Mm-mm.
No. Loose sand. Hot to the touch. 3 or so hours to sunset.
And these footsteps went around, like, the Talverna and then the divot? Or was it a straight?
Ran 30 yards away from Talverna, made a right across, like, a dune, and then disappeared.
So, if you went in the direction of the last footsteps, which way is it pointed? Like, now on our knowledge of the map.
North. So basically, the mouth of Talverna is south.
Can I walk back that 30 feet to the body?
30 yards. Yeah.
30 yards.
Yep.
I'll pull out the dagger and go for the cloth, the sigil, sigil on on the cloth. Can I cut it out?
Yeah, yeah. It's easy enough to do that. Well, you're beginning to make your way back there. 30 yards is kind of a ways to walk in the sand. What are the rest of you three doing?
Walking back with Levi.
Okay. Honto?
Yeah, I'm not inclined to pursue this any longer.
Cree?
Same.
Okay. Walking back to the corpse that has fallen, you cut out the sigil.
I was thinking we got time. Head back to the nearest city. See if anybody knows anybody with this sigil. See if we can find our Eggman.
Well, I would love to find our Eggman, as you say.
If that's what you think, I am okay to try that.
You said we have 2 weeks.
Yeah. And we walked through a pretty, clay bend. Would I know, would anybody, well, yeah, I guess, anybody know anything about clay bend or the Ember Works?
Go ahead and roll history for me.
And I bring it up to the rest of the group, too.
If anyone else wants to either roll history themselves or give Levi advantage, say it now before that dice exits Mike Finn's hands.
I would say Rook would not know at all.
Give him advantage.
Eleven.
So Clay Bend itself is a subsection, almost as if it is a district of Kincaidine. You guys pass through it on your way here. Very poor area. A lot of beggars, working class families. You would guess that your best avenue for finding out more information on this sigil would either be A, back at the Adventurers Guild, or B, maybe, you know, closer to the actual, you know, royal castle of Baitinka. Maybe a library or anyone who is more well-versed in those kinds of studies. The Ember Works, you do know, basically is the heart of iron manufacturing for Kincaidine. It's a lot of iron workers making horseshoes, nails, sometimes weapons, very working class area. Beyond that, north to the Drift, which is right on the edge of the Salt Flats, is also working class area. Kincaidine itself seems to be a radius of working class areas with Baitinka at the center, which is more of that upper scholarly royal class. So you have Claybend, the Drift, Saltside, and the Dock Ward, which is all blue collar, very working class people, centered around a more scholarly sect of people.
And Baitinka is where the royal family lives?
Yes, it is their castle, their royal palace. But it, of itself, is just another district of Kincaidine, with shops and stores and houses, manors, mansions, and the royal castle itself.
Yeah, I mean, best bet might be head back. adventurers, no more than regular town folk, I would assume.
Yeah, let's do it.
Back to town?
Mm-hmm.
So, it is a 2 days journey. Now, you guys walked with an accelerated speed in order to get there quicker. Are you guys doing the same thing? When you walk with an accelerated speed, you are taking penalties to your perception rolls. We call it passive perception. I don't use it too much, but it is important. Basically, you are walking with less purpose and care. You'll get there in a day and a half if you do that, or 2 days if you walk at a normal pace and keep active eyes on all around you.
I kind of think I want to take the full 2 days, because now we're trying to figure something out. So who knows what we'll see.
Yeah.
If it's just a half a day. I mean, it could end up being a lot of time, half a day, but I don't know.
Now, the other end of that spectrum is you guys can take longer. You guys can take 2.5 days and be able to proceed with stealth, if you so choose.
I don't think stealthy is necessary right now.
No.
I feel like we should just walk regular speed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, regular. Yeah, I agree.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just putting it out there. Want to make sure that you guys have access to all the options available to you. So, proceeding on a 2 days journey, where is your end destination?
Back to the guild, I would assume, right? Where the... Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good starting spot, at least.
Yeah,
like sure. In town.
Okay. So, like I said, only 4 or so hours before sun sets. And, I mean, just to kind of make it clear to you guys, as you guys are traveling through this desert, it's not particularly, like, barren. There's not a great amount of, say... you know, uneventfulness in it. It's not rare to see this scattering of wildlife. Scorpions, you know, both just normal sized, and then, like I mentioned, large roving bands of, you know, these dire scorpions that kind of just walk and skitter on the horizon. You guys see these field mice. Snakes aren't rare. And there's birds, too. You guys see smaller birds along with larger birds of prey that just kind of circle around. Small collections of dried brushes, cacti, mesquite trees, desert poplars, and rocky outcroppings, which importantly do provide a decent amount of shade from the sun. If you look from above, the deserts of Ticinia might seem barren and empty, but when you're down here with your feet in the sand like this, that could not be further from the truth. There's a lot of activity if you know where to look. So as you guys are progressing off of these 4 hours, the sun sets. And the second that sun crosses the horizon, the temperature drops pretty drastically. How far do you guys continue before you make camp?
I don't know. I'm down to, like, start a fire as soon as it gets dark. If we're in the desert, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
If we get back into the town, we can kind of haul ass a little. Well... Not go faster, but move longer parts of the day, but I think we should just hunker down.
Easy enough to find some respite next to a mesquite tree, make camp for the night, start a fire. Any conversations that occur before you guys bed down for the night?
Honto's definitely going to be doing some push-ups, crunches, planks kind of thing, and then when he's done... He's going to start to meditate, and then, but before he goes into deep, we'll have a conversation with, you know, wants to talk.
Anyone else have any pre-bed rituals?
Levi pulls out this cloth, like long strips of cloth from his bag, and he starts to sew and fashion this piece of clothing.
Yeah, Kree just takes his sword off of his back and just pops a squat by the fire.
Yeah, Rook's by the fire, and he's just, like, staring into it, and he said, is it just Kree that's by the fire, or is everyone by the fire?
No, I'm by the fire as well.
Rook's like, have you guys ever seen anything that big? that scary?
In the bog, I've seen many, many things. Where I come from, I've seen everything. But I've never seen that. No?
What about you, Soul Taker?
I mean, like you said, nothing like that. Something that came from the abyss. But, something of the size of the full girth of that thing, yeah. All the time. Think these soul containers stay empty? No, I seen that. I seen that plenty.
Hmm. Do you think if it wasn't hurt, we would have died?
I think we got some capable individuals with different strengths around this fire.
We did not have to find out the answer to that question today, did we?
No. I trust you
confident.
Guys.
I believe we would have killed it, regardless. I think being with you as my companions, Cedro is blessing all of us. I think we would have put it down, even if it were in good health.
The fire crackles softly, sending stray embers up into the air, spiraling down. The four of you find yourselves in the middle of the desert as the cold night begins to take hold. A day and a half journey back to King Cadine to find answers that you seek. And that is where we're going to pick up next session.
D&D!
Thank you for listening to this installment of Shadow of the Seven, a Nasty Table production.